The Drama of the Week is a download from the BBC.
Tahrir Square, Cairo. Independence Square, Kiev. Gezi Park, Istanbul. Moscow. Paris, Rabat. Why do we endlessly form ourselves into crowds, into mobs? What do we want? What do we hope for? Us, men and women, each of us apart, together. Does a crowd have a morality, a purpose, an aim? Does a storm at sea? What do we lose? What gain? Why? Why? London, then. The year 1780. It will serve as well as any, I think. After all, it is in its time the greatest city in the world. Here are commerce and government, pleasure and profit, hope and despair, and at its dark heart, the vast organ of undiscriminating pain and punishment that is Newgate Prison. Is it only fear that keeps man down? Take that away, and is the key turned in the lock to let out King Mob? An old inn in Epping, on the far edge of that great galaxy of smoke and misery and ambition that is London. The Maypole Inn, before which stands said maypole, still occasionally used by the village folk to dance and twine and twine about in the old dance, the old way, the best way?
So they say, so they say. But what I say
is... you tell them, John Willett.
It is.
What?
Telling you, ain't I? You can't allow me to speak my piece, old Daisy. Joe, where's the ale our customers is waiting?
They still ale in their glasses, Dad.
Is you a contradicting me, boy?
I'm just saying, they ain't waiting.
Oh, now you're for it, Joey lad, ain't you just?
I ain't said nothing.
You ain't said nothing worth hearing, because you ain't got anything worth hearing to say on account of being a callow boy.
Well, I got
nothing to say. Time, age, tradition, experience, respect for your elders. England wasn't made in a day, boy, and neither is a man made in a day, boy. If you see what I mean.
What? Well, I got work to do. I'll be in the yard.
Joseph Willett, you will be where I tells you to be.
No respect, Mr. Willett. And what can you expect from them that has no respect? Ale's good.
I swear one day I'll swing for that man.
He's your father, Joe.
Aye, and don't he let me know it, the old bastard.
You want bastards, try my dad. God, we're a sad pair, aren't we?
Here, let me help you. He sends me out. Joseph Willett, you'll be where I expect you to be. He don't understand.
They don't, fathers. I think something happens to their brains when they get old.
I mean, I hardly get to see her but twice a year. I'm 19, Ned, I need to be wed.
Aye, and the mayor knows it too. Well, you and me both, brother, you and me both.
You were up at the hall then?
Oh, for all the good it did us. Half an hour and her uncle arrives, old blood and thunder Haredale himself. Stands around with that face of his longer than a long mile. You don't like me.
At least you saw her.
I saw what I'll never have. Look after yourself, Joe. And don't top your old man just yet.
You too. Mind you.
Aye.
She is a tasty piece of horseflesh. And it's a dark night.
Oh, Lord, there, Sammy!
What do you want?
You're a bright boy, you work it out. Here I stand with a bogger in me hand, the muzzle almost up your nose. Locked and cocked and ready to blow your bloody head off. What the bloody hell do you think I want?
I don't have much money.
You don't have much time left neither. Hand it over.
You won't get away with this.
What? Bloody misfire. Nothing works like it should nowadays. So you've just got to do it the old-fashioned way. Pleasant dreams, son.
In the name of God, watch here.
As someone once said, the history of civilization is the story of a great offense against decorum.
Come on. Let's get you somewhere safe. Poor boy. Poor boy.
Is this then the tale of a great offense? Is that where the crowd, the mob, grows from? Well, if one thing is certain, every crowd was once 100, 1,000 different men and women. So let's start by winding up our men and women and sending them out into the world.
Mrs. Rudge! Mrs. Rudge, are you there?
Gabriel Varden, locksmith. You can set your watch by Varden, or lock your door by Varden. But Mrs. Rudge can't lock her door against Varden this night. So what is it at this time?
Help me, Mom. He's hurt. The lad's hurt.
Oh, what happened?
Some renegado. A low Toby of sorts.
Robbery?
Lucky it weren't murder.
Lucky for the boy.
Lucky for the boy? Your son, sir.
I know Ned is my son, sir. You tell me...
He was attacked on the way back from Epping last night. The Toby captain midnight, he thinks. The fellow operates in that neck of the woods.
And pity his neck ain't been stretched then.
Your son was badly beaten about the head, I'm afraid.
Then he will very probably be up and about his mischief by noon, or at least by 6 this evening, since his head is quite empty.
How can you say that, sir? The poor lad
is my cross. I do so understand the Almighty. Sons get in endless pickles, don't they, Mr. Varden, is it?
Gabriel Varden, sir. Locksmith. And I only have a daughter.
John Chester, sir, gentlemen. And I am infinitely obliged to you.
But Mr. Chester...
But Mr. Varden, you are no doubt a busy man. I cannot on all conscience detain you further. Besides, my coffee is getting cold, and I hate cold coffee, don't you?
Then good day to you, sir.
Mr. Varden, a moment more of your valuable time, if I may.
Well, sir...
What, if I may ask, was my son doing in Epping, I believe you said?
I am not a tittle-tattle, Mr. Chester.
But Epping? Shall we call it a father's concern?
You may call it what you like. He was seeing his sweetheart, I believe.
Sweetheart? Ah, of course. How forgetful of me. These lads, eh? And their sweethearts. Miss...
Haredale. Surely...
Of Haredale Hall, of course, exactly. Thank you, sir. Good day to you. What did I ever do to deserve such a very stupid boy?
The question is rhetorical. The room is empty. John Chester gives all his considerable attention to the fine Meissen cup from which he sips his coffee. Fathers and sons, then.
I'm a-coming, ain't I?
And back at the Maypole Inn.
You is coming unconscionable slow, boy. More like unto the snail than a nippy lad attending to his dad.
Quart of ale, gents.
You take heed of your dad, young Joe. He knows what's what, does John Willett.
And I don't need you speaking up for me, Solomon Daisy. I can blow my own trumpet.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Watch your tongue, boy, and attend to them barrels.
I have to go out this afternoon.
You what?
He what?
You goes out when I say you goes out, and I ain't saying go out.
You have to take a message to Miss Emma at the hall. For Mr. Edward Chester, he was attacked last night.
That bloody midnight, bloody menace. They ought to do something about that.
Attacked, you say, the young gent himself?
Well, obviously, Dad, yes.
Well, he wants to let...
Yes, Dad, they wants to. Mr. Varden sent a message by Barnaby.
Barnaby, you say?
Yes, Dad, he's outside.
Oh, you say?
Barnaby, my dad wants a word.
He hasn't got that bloody bird with him, has he? Oh, he hates that bird, evil little bastard.
Speak for yourself, fat man.
What did you say?
Will you tell him what you told me, Barnaby?
Speak for yourself, fat man!
Don't you pay no mind to grip. You just say what other folks say.
Who said that, then?
I said that.
Not what you said, what he said.
Who said?
Tell him what you said, Barnaby.
I just did.
Not
I said.
Him. Him, idiot.
Idiot! Idiot!
He's just a bird, Dad. He don't mean nothing. Only got a brain the size of a pea.
A big pea, mine. He ain't no fool. Not Grip. Is he Grip?
He's a devil, me.
But who said Fat Man? What he said, repeating what they said about me.
What?
Just tell him, right?
Barnaby, only a good tell Joe Rennett to take a message to Miss Emma Hatley Hall. Tell her Edward Chester was robbed an inch last night and is lying at Mrs. Rudge's. That's me ma, that is, Mrs. Rudge. She calls him Bunry Rudge. So it's just me ma, see? Tell her Mr. Varden has matters in hand and she's not to worry. Letter to follow, yours affectionately, Gabriel Varden, Esquire.
Gabriel Varden, Esquire, Esquire, Esquire!
Shut that bird up before I shoot it.
That means Esquire. Into your basket, Grip. Don't want the fat man to shoot you, does he? All right? Night, 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 night.
Night, night. I'm the devil. Night, night. Fat man.
So I gotta go, see? Mr. Ned Chester not being a gent you'd want to offend.
He's a good customer, respectable sort, I say that. Very well, you ask my permission, Joseph. But don't dawdle, or I'll fetch you such a clout.
Come on, Barnaby.
Folk, simply going about their business. Though the business of folk is rarely simple in this world. So, mothers and sons, then. Mothers with secrets, sons with a raven sight. Though what a raven might see coming down the line, see that others do not from his high estate.
Ah! Closer! Closer!
But then a bird is still a bird, and what does he have to say?
My ass! As a devil! Closer!
And click, click. The tumblers turn and our folk go about their business, all unknowing.
Mrs. Rudge, ma'am, how is he? How are you all?
Come in, sir, come in. I knew you would be by.
And our patient?
Impatient, sir, to be up and away. But I will not let him go. Not until another night is past. He lost blood.
Aye, a deal of it. The attack, the man midnight.
Brute! Fearsome! Will you see the young man, sir?
I'll take his soup, if I may.
Of course. You make sure he eats it.
Thank you.
He says Grip don't know his numbers, because he never counts more than two, and then it's sausages. But I says, what good is numbers compared to sausages?
Mr. Varden.
No, don't get up, my boy.
I'm in your debt, sir.
Nonsense.
That's right, of course, you're in my mum's bedroom.
Aye, she's given it up for me, Barnaby. She's a good woman, but I should be away.
But you don't have rings like Grip. No, Grip would fly away.
He's a glad to see you. Bye-bye, fly away!
Here, eat soup, Ned. Sleep, and tomorrow...
She sent me a note, sir, the sweetest note that ever a man got.
And tomorrow you may see your sweetheart. Now eat.
Hedgerow soup, that. Ma's finest. Grip picks up the little insects, don't you, Grip? You don't miss much.
Don't miss much?
He likes some congee.
Barnaby, why don't you take Grip for a walk? Fly. He looks a bit peaky to me.
Aye, peaky. That's Grip. That's a good one, hey? Beaky. We loves the outside we do. Come on, Grip. We'll all have some larks. Oh, yes, we will.
That's a devil. I'm the devil.
A good lad.
He likes them crunchy.
I saw your father.
Yes. He sent his man.
He
is a gentleman of the new style. In manners and thought, Mr. Varden, not given to what he calls the hypocrisy of sensibility. A clear thinker, a man of the mind. I admire him in many ways. And if he did not come, you may be certain he had a good reason.
I can't think for...
Mr. Varden says Grip speaking to the offer rooms.
Of course. Your father would be glad to see you recovered. But you must, my boy, stay here for the night and tomorrow. If all is well, why, we shall discharge you, Mrs. Rudge and I. And now, if Have you finished the soup?
Every drop, every crouton, if croutons they were.
I will. Barnaby? Ned?
That voice. I heard it. I believe...
Are you sure?
How can I be sure, man? I can barely remember anything from that night, but... It can't be. It can't. Not here, not him.
Aye, it cannot. You've had a shock. Sleep, my boy. Mum, we heard a disturbance. What's there?
No, nothing, sir. Merely a rough fellow who thought to come begging. Only that, nothing more.
The lock, my friends, must surrender to the key. And the key lies in the hand of him who holds it. And soon, soon that lock will be opened and the world will know...
Who are you talking to, Sim?
Simon Tappertit, apprentice to locksmith Varden, talks to Destiny, for it is Destiny that awaits this unsung as yet hero of the uncommon man.
I was reciting, Miggs. Line from a drama yet to be played out.
Miggs, maid of all work in the Varden household, holds a certain affection for Simon T.
And who is the hero of this here drama, Sim?
A great man. In Nascence.
Nascence? Where is Nascence?
Well, it's more of a state of being, Miggs. As it were, being in bondage to cruel commerce when better things await a fella.
Or hero.
Exactly. Miggs, you gets my drift.
Well, Simmy, if you want your supper, Mr. Varden is home and the table is laid.
Mrs. V?
Is took with the vapours, poor soul. So much to put up with. But that...
Miggs holds no affection at all for Miss Dolly Varden presiding at supper.
That Miss Dolly.
Unlike Simon Tappertit, who dreams of plump, creamy Miss Dolly's lock, and he with the key in his hand.
I shall be along in a moment, Miggs. In a moment.
Be careful, Dolly, my dear, or the foam will spill over. And Miggs would never forgive us a stained cloth.
Lord above, sir, never let it fret you. Stains is like elephants in Stepney under my hands.
There are no elephants in Stepney, Miggs. At least I've never seen one.
And no more will you see a stain survive my washing of it, Miss Dolly.
Ah, there you are, Sim. Mm. Cut along now, you'll miss your supper.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, Miss Dolly. I trust the crepuscular hour finds you in the bloom of health.
Thank you, Sim. I do pretty well.
Vinegar is the answer. And a scrubber with very stiff bristles.
Which Miggs would like very much to apply with vigour to peachy Miss Dolly.
And might I inquire as to the health of the young gentleman you were so kind as to rescue, sir?
Why, Sim, your concern does you credit.
Which is, of course, the idea.
Yes, indeed, the poor fellow.
Yeah.
Tappertit cares not a whit for Mr. Ned Chester.
He is better. I say better spirits and health. And I say your health, Dolly. Sim. Why, Miggs, indeed yours too.
But he knows that Dolly is a confidant of Ned's love, Emma Haredale, and she does care for the young man. So, since he cares for her...
Then I am glad, truly, Miss Dolly. My heart leaps within me like a leaping salmon.
But is it true that Mr. Chester didn't visit his son, Papa? Is that not strange?
I thought so, my dear. Most strange. Though Ned did not. Sim, the ham stands with you. Oh. Please to carve.
Mr. Chester, ain't it? Oh, please, to come in, sir. What can I get you?
Now we have met Mr. Tappertit and Dolly and Miggs, all of whom will have their part to play in this experiment. Our business takes us elsewhere.
May I, young Master Ned, terrible business, the roads, the...
I wish a room, landlord.
Yes, the finest we have. Joe, are you there, boy? Mr. Chester wishes a room. Get Blenheim ready at once. Joe, you lazy bugger, shift you pins, oh my God, I'll fetch you such a...
Please do not disturb yourself. Room, merely. The space, that is what I require, and that is all I require. Oh, and a chair and some wine that is not absolutely undrinkable. And a messenger?
Well, I'd normally call on the idiot, sir.
You can hardly imagine I wish my message to be in the hands of an idiot.
Well, he's slow, shall we say, but he's good-natured.
Or slow. Find me someone swift. I will wait here for this messenger. I will send the message. I will await its results in... Blenheim, is that clear? Is that clear?
The boy ain't here. My boy Joe, he ain't. Otherwise, you could send him.
Except he is not here, yes.
You! The ostler, sir, and general help. He's a bit of a gypsy, bit of a wild man, but pay him and he'll take your message.
My, oh my, what a monster! Landlord, please to take wine, your best wine, to the room, now.
Now, sir.
A tip on the English language. Now generally means now.
Aye.
They call you Hugh?
Them that calls me anything.
You have a look about you. I'd say that if you live another 5 years without a rope around your neck, you'll be lucky. Well?
Your neck or mine, you reckon I give a good goddamn? You got something for me? Tell me. Otherwise, I got horse shite to shovel for more profit than I'm getting here.
Oh, I like you. I like you. Haredale Hall. You know it?
Aye.
Geoffrey Haredale, you know him?
Aye.
Good.
The afternoon slips away into evening, and in Epping, elegant John Chester waits, whilst in London, Gabriel Varden retires to his study for some serious study. Miss Dolly writes a letter to her friend Emma Haredale.
Oh, did ever distracted heart have so great a burden to bear as you, dear Emma? My dear Emma. Emma, my dear.
Mig's dreams of Simon Tappertit.
Oh, Sim. Here's a one. Here's home. Here's a hero.
And the said Sim Tappertit dreams of glory. And lets himself out of the house with his own key and makes his way to...
Who goes there?
It is your captain.
And the password?
Down with the masters.
In the dust they will fester. Enter in, noble captain. The revolution awaits your guiding hand.
But as Sim goes about his revolutionary road, we must return to... that old-fashioned inn with its old-fashioned maypole. Poor, lovelorn Emma Haredale's gloomy uncle.
Haredale, I am very glad to see you.
I doubt that. What do you want?
Oh, still the same forthright character I see.
I have not changed. What do you want?
We meet, I hope, in amity.
In Blenheim, I believe.
Good Lord, a sense of humour. Wherever did that come from, Geoffrey?
The room is called Blenheim.
Ah, then as you say, you are as you were. But come, man, I've travelled a good mile or two to see you.
Nothing good about your miles, Chester.
You do me ill, and all I wish to do is serve you, Geoffrey.
You forget, I've tasted your servings before.
Do you still drink? Will you take wine?
I drink with my friends. Get on with it.
At least sit.
I'll stand.
Very well. I have a son. You have a niece. Ned and Emma have fallen in love, as children will.
You tell me what?
No doubt with time, once the carnal appetites have been satisfied, love will wither and die. But why condemn them to that disappointment when we... together might
nip this thing in the bud, as it were, here and now.
There is a friendship between them, that I know, but there is more.
I do not recall you being this slow at school, Geoffrey. Have you cultivated a... Yes, there is a relationship. It has been flowering some months, I gather. The boy hints at marriage. The girl is not unamenable.
I love my niece Chester. No doubt you find that hard to believe, but I do.
Not at all. I quite like Ned some of the time. However, I cannot consent to this match.
You heard me say I loved my niece. If what you say is true...
Look at me. You may not like me, but you know me. It's true.
Do you think, then, that I, in a world of time, would ever let her ally herself to anyone who has a drop of your blood in his veins?
May I say how very gratified I am by your open and honest attitude? We are agreed that this thing will not go forward.
Aye.
And that any connection between the two, by letter or spoken message, will cease.
If it can be done, then it must be done. God forgive me.
God? Are you still of the old faith, Geoffrey?
If it's any of your business.
Steadfast, then?
Is that it? Are we done?
If I can't persuade you to a glass...
Be damned to your wine, Chester. Good night.
Oh, no, you're wise, Geoffrey. Sour stuff, not good at all. I told you to wait. I did not tell you to come in.
Back in London, the night has passed, but Sim Tappertit ain't back yet. Whilst faithful Miggs, who saw him leave, waits. And, at last, as dawn creeps, so creeps Sim.
Last of them.
You who?
Mixie! God bless you, girl. Let me in.
No! Not by the hairs on my chinny chin chin. Not that I've got any hairs on it, mind.
You have a lovely chin. Why not?
Because it was me what filled the lot with towel when you went out.
Well, why'd you do that, Mixie? My sweet darling girl.
Because you ain't meant to go sneaking off, Simmy Tappertit. Where was ya?
Let me in and I'll tell you, Mixie, light of my life.
Tell me and I might let you in.
It's a secret.
I like secrets.
Society.
What?
The Prentice Knights.
Knights, you say?
The oaths is fearsome. The revenge upon them that reveals the secrets of our guild is a good deal worse, Mixie. Hot pitch and boiling oil ain't in it, believe me.
I won't tell nothing, I promise.
We has eyes everywhere, like Argus. That's Greek. We'll know if you breathes a squeak.
Can I be a member?
Prentices only. You can be an associate member.
But what's it all about, Simmy?
Revenge upon the masters. Horrible revenge. We has a list of names, the condemned. When the day comes, they shall be struck down, and we shall take what is rightfully ours.
Oh, Simmy, Simmy. Oh. You can take your mix any time you want.
As Sim stands with the unfashionably thin Miggs in his arms and the delicious curves of Miss Dolly in his dreams, we turn with the dawning day to...
Why, look, Grip, it's day again, and you were thinking it never would come.
Eyes a devil, whams for all!
The morning always comes, no holding it back. Come on, if you will, Mr. Chester.
Why, Barnaby, you are right. Here's the day, and here we are.
Here's Mr. Varden with your horse. Good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Mr. Varden.
And to you all, ma'am. Ned, how are you?
Never better, sir. I owe you all a great deal.
Nonsense.
They says that's what I'd talk to Mr. Ned. But I reckon that sometimes nonsense is sense. Because sense is almost part of it. See? Sense, nonsense.
As a devil, you're an idiot.
Are you certain you're fit to ride, Ned?
As certain as Mrs. Rogers' good nursing can make me.
Don't forget Grip now. He's an ass at all.
As an ass!
But I must owe you.
Never think of it, sir. Mr. Varden has settled all.
Sir, please. I will speak to my father and...
I will not see you left short by my adventures. I will somehow...
Some adventure. Where do you go now?
Where else?
Where else indeed?
Who's there?
Do you think you might put that fearsome weapon down, my sweet?
My lord! My lord, Ned! Oh, Ned, I was so worried.
But I wrote to you.
Oh, but I wrote to you. What does that mean? Would you have said if you'd been badly hurt?
I suppose I would not have wanted to worry you.
Oh, so like a boy.
Really? How many boys do you know?
All right, clever Dick. So like I should think boys are.
Which is?
Oh, thoughtless, heedless, and mostly senseless. If you were hurt, why wouldn't I want to worry about you?
The next time I shall write in full.
You expect there will be a next time?
Can we talk about something else, Emma, my love?
Oh, but you're pale. Are you sure?
Really, really, I am.
Was he fearsome, this Captain Midnight? All the servants have been talking about nothing else. Does he ride a coal-black stallion and have burning eyes that turn the knees of honest travellers to water?
Well, if it really was Midnight, then he's a bit of a scrawny fellow without a horse.
Oh.
But he really was desperate. I'm certain he would have done for me if Mr. Varden hadn't happened along. As for his eyes, I did see them, and they were dead, like dull buttons. I remember thinking, there is nothing this man wouldn't do, and there is nothing that would stop him from doing it.
This is well done, sir. To enter my house like a thief, you are not welcome here. Emma, leave us.
Uncle, please.
I chanced upon Miss Emma. I know you do not welcome me, sir, and that being so, you can hardly complain if necessity leaves me no other course than the wall.
High words, boy. Emma?
She is not your daughter to command,
but
sir.
But she is my ward since her father's murder. And until she is of age, she is my responsibility.
I am not something to be argued over, Uncle. Please, listen to Ned. We love you.
Enough, I say, enough of love. What about duty, eh? Your duty to me, Emma. Mine to my dead brother. This gentleman's to his father.
What do you know of my father?
More than you in this matter, it would seem. Good day to you, sir.
I will not leave in this way.
I will have you thrown out if you do not go.
Uncle, this is unfair. It's monstrous.
And yet it will be so. Come, miss.
I will not stand for this. I will not.
You'll do anything you like, Mr. Chester, so long as you do it elsewhere.
Ned! Ned!
I will never stop loving you, Emma. Never. Never. Ever. Ever.
Why, Ned, man, you look fit for murder.
Ah, you're not wrong there. Will you help me?
In what? How? Of course.
Haredale has forbidden me to approach Emma.
Oh, that's hard.
It's too hard. I need some way of getting word to her.
Oh, I don't see that I can be of any use, Ned.
Dolly Varden is a friend of Emma's, and you, Joe, you would be more than a friend of Dolly's.
Well,
she writes to Emma. Could she not include a note from me sometimes?
He sees her seldom enough, Ned, but I'm in London in a day or two to pay the vintner, so I can call her then?
Just ask, Joe, that's all. See if she'll do it, and I'll write directly.
Oh, I know she'll do it. She's all the spirit in the world. But, Ned, if Emma's uncle has forbidden it...
And if Gabriel Varden forbade you from seeing Dolly?
Halfway between Epping and Gabriel Varden's house and workshop stands the cottage of Mrs. Rudge. It is evening now. Grip is in his basket dreaming raven dreams. Barnaby, too, is asleep.
What do you want?
To get out of the night, woman. Let me in.
Go away.
Too late for that, Mary.
Oh, then be quiet. He's here.
The boy's here.
He's asleep. Don't wake him, or I swear.
You swear what?
You'll be a dead man, and the world will be a better place for it.
Ah, you always had spirit, Mary. You were a spitfire back then, so you was a beautiful...
Enough, for God's sake.
What's he got to do with it?
Do you want food? I've no drink in the place.
Time is lean on the roads. I'll take the money.
No.
What? Would you even be getting in? would Airedale even be painted if your beloved husband weren't cold in his long only 7 years?
I wish you were well.
Here's the thing, Mary. I take the money, or I take the boy. I could use an apprentice to the trade. 2 bargains is always better than one.
No, you cannot. He's not... You know he's still a child in many ways.
Aye, it'll be a great adventure for him. What's it to be?
Right, that will see to your lunch, yeah. And that will see to the coach fare. Aye, and I might have enough to... Enough to what, boy? Your job is to pay the vintner's bill. Or was you thinking of romancing your lady friend? Is it that Dolly Varden, eh? What if it is? What it is that you better establish yourself in the world before you go gallivanting off on all that romantic nonsense. Dad, I'm 19. 29 is quite old enough for a wife to take a wife. Until then, you mind your betters and your manners. And give my best to the vintners. And don't draw it off. Be polite. And don't hang around Mr. Varden's shop. Oh.
Yes?
Hello, Miggs. How does the day find you?
Yes?
I was in the,
Yes?
Vicinity.
Yes?
Miggs, who is it?
A person.
Miss Dolly!
Why, Miggs, whatever are you about? Let him in at once.
Yes.
Miss Dolly, I was... So I thought you would... If you see what I mean.
You are a model of clarity, Joseph. May I offer you tea?
That would be... But I don't want to trouble you, if you was busy or anything. Else, that is.
Miggs, please to call Papa, and you may prepare tea for us. Miggs?
Yes?
Tell Papa and make the tea. Yes?
Yes.
Miggs has been odd of late. Odder, even odder.
Dolly, before your dad comes through, look, I have something important.
Oh, you found your tongue then. What is it, Joe? What do you have to say to me?
Ned Chester needs to get a letter to Miss Emma.
Oh. Well, go on.
He's been forbidden to see her. Her uncle and his. What I mean to say is, when you see her next, will you take this?
Oh, it ain't regular, Joe. But it is romantic.
Will you? Or can you?
Joe Willett, my dear boy, how are you? We don't often see you in town. Sit you down and have a glass. Ale, Miggs, ale! Where is
the woman? I guess it was the man. Thank you. Bought you some tea, Sim. Not that they would think to offer.
I scorn their tea. They shall not buy me with petty luxuries and furbelows, Miggs. I have a greater destiny. Who's calling anyway?
Joe Willett.
That Joe Willett.
Seeing as he's sweet on Miss Dolly. Like to rot his teeth, she is, the great suet pudding.
Joe Willett.
If you ask me, she wants to add him to the list.
List? What list?
Suitors, Sim. What have humiliated themselves by asking for a fat hand. I mean, there's the baker's lad, wants to bake a bun... That muffin man wants to go at a muffin. The fishmonger's brother who wants a flounder on...
A flounder? What is a... Never mind. What is they up to at this moment, Miggs, the nefarious pair of them?
Well, Mr. V's with them now, so there won't be no hanky-panky.
That Joe Willett is a short step away from eternity, and should the Prentice Knights ever get my hands on him, he'll be tipping over the edge momentarily. You mark my words, Miggs. He's on our list.
And chilling words they is, Sim. Worthy of a great man.
In nascence?
I bought a scone as well. Made him myself. You sure you don't want a taste of my scone?
So it is. We go about our business, hoping for this, for that, never knowing what will be. Could we live in a world where things are certain? Could we act today if we know absolutely that tomorrow we will be struck down or taken up by the storm and whirled who knows where.
He says his heart is mine forever. He is steadfast, heart and soul, forever and forever and forever. Oh, and forever.
I wish Joe Willett had half as much ardour.
Joe is a darling.
Joe is under his father's thumb, and my ma always says it don't do to marry a man already under the thumb.
How is your ma these days?
Oh, pretty much the same. But what to do?
About Joe?
Oh, Joe will come round. He's solid oak inside. It's just taken a while to grow out. No, about Ned.
I shall write to him. Of course I shall. If you will take the letter, doll.
Of course I shall.
I will say that I give him his freedom. Huh? I make no claim upon him. I sacrifice my hopes, my love, my happiness, everything.
What?
No, he won't accept. He'll love me all the more, don't you see? Oh. It'll be just like Amelia in The Fair Captive of Castle Howe, when Bad Lord Howe threatens her with marriage to the goat boy, the letter she writes to Gizmondo.
Oh. Only, my papa would say, don't tempt fate.
Well, there's no tempting here. I know Ned is as solid as...
And papa don't understand the female heart. They mostly don't, fathers.
Or uncles. Now, how shall I begin?
What do you want?
Oh, it's you. Did you come to meet me from the Maypole?
I've been waiting.
I thought they might send someone.
Nobody sends Hugh nowhere, Missy.
Oh, we should get on. The coach will be due. You're too close. You're too close.
Easy, darling.
Let go of me!
In a while, sweetheart. You smell like fresh baked bread.
If you don't let me go now, I shall tell Joe Willett and...
If you tell Joe Willett anything, I will kill him. Look at me, darling. You knows I mean it. I will do it. Aye, I'd swing for your dumplings, darling, and it'd be worth it. You've been tasted yet, have you?
Oh, get off! Let me go!
Taste as good as you smell, eh? Oh, God, you do.
Please, let me go. I'll give you... Look, I'll give you...
Oh, you will. You will.
This Caliban had better be worth missing my sleep for, because I do not like missing my sleep. Puts me in a bad mood all day, and when that happens, bad things happen. Now, don't scowl. Pour yourself a drink. There.
The young gent.
Ned?
Yeah, went to see them all. Got thrown out by Mr. Airedale.
I hope that is not your news.
No. Young gent has a word with Joe Willett, innkeeper's boy. I overheard him in the stables.
Go on, and pour on.
Well, Joe's sweet on this here girl, locksmith's daughter, Varden.
Remarkable.
What?
How things come together in this world, I know the man.
Aye, Dolly's the piece. She visits the Airedale girl, so your boy uses her to get word to his maw.
Quite the conspirators, aren't they? Well?
Dole visits today. Goes in, presently comes out. Walks through woods.
Where she meets the big bad wolf.
We walk along together. Turns out she has a letter from Ned's sweetheart.
And I assume you have said letter?
I do.
And the girl?
What about the girl?
I don't know what you think of me, Caliban. And I really don't care. But what you must know is that I am the most dangerous man you know. And I will have you taken and hanged like that.
if you lie to me. Be straight, and I'll be straight. The girl.
Scared her a bit. She won't talk. I didn't touch her. Well, bruise on the arm, but that's all. And her shawl. I got her shawl. It smells of her.
Enough, Caliban. Too much indeed. We are settled, then. The letter.
Yeah.
Oh, these girls. These girls. Caliban, if you ever get married, make sure your wife never reads a novel. Fiction and women.
Well?
This, my mossy friend, is worth the bottle, and these too. Thank you. Wait. Hold. In that light, is there...
What?
Your name.
You know my name.
Family name.
Hugh. It's the only name I ever knew.
And family?
It was me and Ma until they hanged her at Tyburn for a couple of thousand men to stare at. They likes a fine woman in a noose.
Very tragic, I'm sure.
Don't know about that. I was six. It was the last time I cried for any living thing on this earth. Are we done?
You are, Hugh of Tyburn. You may depart, but keep a good eye, and I will keep a good bottle and a ready purse. As for me, I have work to do, so no sleep this night. They say that music calms the savage breast. Well, we don't want that for you, my good fellow. So, off you go, about your business. And I shall presently go about mine.
And so it is done, this business of John Chester's. Business here.
My dear young lady, my Emma, if I may call you so, I could wish for nothing more in this life than that you and my dear boy should be joined together in marriage. But I fear that Ned has played you false. I weep to say it, but he has contracted to marry another, an heiress, with 10,000 acres.
And it is done there, this business of his?
Mr. Varden, sir, I must warn you of a viper in the bosom of your family, or at least in the lovely bosom of your charming daughter. One Joe Willett, who, I am informed, I may not say by whom or how, nourishes the most dishonourable intentions towards the young lady in question. He seeks to draw her into a forbidden correspondence, sir. An immoral, lewd... I can say no more.
And it is done pretty much everywhere else, too.
Willett, I speak as a father. Keep the boy at home. That is my advice. Of course, youth will have its way and its day, but we of the older generation must exercise a firm and directing hand. It is no more than our loving duty so to do.
It is almost a relief to know that not all the ill in this storied world flows from the well-manicured hands of Mr. John Chester. There is rougher stuff born of midnight.
Hurry, Barnaby. There's not a moment to be lost.
Lose a moment? How can I lose a moment, Ma? Where did they go?
Gone to the devil? Hush, Grip. He's a devil. He's a devil.
But we lost it, Ma. We lost it.
Hush now, Barnaby. We've lost nothing. Now, you pick this up. It's not too heavy.
Bless you, Ma. Of course it ain't. Where are we going, Ma?
We're going away. Away, away, Barnaby. It'll be a holiday away, for I fancy a change of scene.
That's all right, then. Me and Grip fancy that too, don't we, Grip?
Fly away, Peter. Fly away, Paul. Fly away, Barnaby. Fly away.
Oi! Inside!
Oh, God. Hush.
I'm out of here.
The scullery window, Barnaby. Out the back.
Open it!
For life, for hope.
Ned's my friend, Dad.
Not anymore, he ain't. And from now on, he's barred from the Maypole, and you, my lad, is barred from leaving the Maypole.
What about going to London?
She can forget about going anywhere, except to your work, boy.
Oh, yeah, that's telling him so it is.
And you can forget about that Dolly Varden. She ain't for you.
This ain't right, Dad, and I ain't standing for it.
Oh, very well. You can sit for it, then.
Oh, that's a good night to jest.
Where are you going, boy? You get
your... Stand aside, Dad.
I told you.
No, I'm telling you.
Damn your insolence.
No. Damn you, Dad.
He hit his dad. He knocked his dad down.
I'm done with you all.
Ned, surely I taught you to knock. Yes, I distinctly remember...
What have you done, sir?
Merely what any father would do for his son.
This is monstrous.
Your ingratitude is certainly so.
You told Miss Hare that
I know what I told her. There's no need to recapitulate.
She will not see me. She believes it is a black lie.
But will not be within the month.
Are you insane?
Are you? This is hardly the manner in which you were taught.
Damn your teaching.
Ned, my dear boy, calm down. Sit down. Listen to me. Do sit. You loom so like that. Well, if you won't. I have no money. Neither do you. You have no profession. I have no profession beyond that of a gentleman.
I can work.
I would rather not, at least not for something as vulgar as money. I fancy Parliament, actually. But that does cost money. And where is one to get money? Why, where else? One marries it.
You aren't getting...
Were you this slow as a child?
You wouldn't know, since you never saw me.
So, no, I am not. You are. I have made an arrangement with the manufacturer. Well, never mind who. Our name, their money. The girl is satisfactory. Satisfactory. Ned...
Goodbye.
Really? It's nothing much, a marriage. Why, you may still play as you will with your Emma. Send your little notes. Oh, come on, Ned. It's just a girl. The world's full of them.
Goodbye, Father.
I expected better of my son.
I should have expected nothing more from my father.
Good Lord. That was almost clever.
Dolly!
Joe! What on earth are you doing on the roof at this time of night?
Dolly, I came to say... God, you are the most beautiful girl in the whole wide world.
You came to say that? Anyhow, you shouldn't be looking.
I'm going away, Dolly. I came to say goodbye.
What? Forever?
No. I'll come back to you, I promise.
But what am I supposed to do, Joe? Become an old maid like Meeks?
But I love you, Dolly.
But you're going away.
I promise.
Meeks! On the roof!
Oh, Lord, Joe!
Save us! We'll be murdered in our bed!
I love you, Dolly Varden. I'll always love you. Good boy.
Call the watch! Don't worry, Miss Dolly, I'll save you.
What about me, Timmy? What about your Meeks?
Goodbye.
Stop the filling!
Save my sacred honour, Timmy!
Joe Willett! You're on my list! You're a dead man!
Stop! Call the watch!
Who did you say, Sim?
The fathers might say with old Tom Kidd, "What's a son? A thing begot within a pair of minutes, a lump bred up in darkness." As for what the sons and mothers, the daughters and lovers might say, as the key turns, the tumblers fall, and riot waits seething beyond the door. How will our characters act and react when it all comes down? When they are consumed by King Mom?
In Barnaby Rudge, Captain Midnight, Charles Dickens is played by Ian Glenn. Barnaby Rudge by Daniel Laurie. Grip and Miggs by Joanna Horton. And Mary Rudge by Heather Craney. Captain Midnight is Tony Bell. Simon Tappertit, Brian Dick. Gabriel Varden, Ron Cook. Dolly Varden, Amaka Okafor. Jeffrey Haredale and Solomon Daisy, David Cann. And Emma Haredale, Jamie Barbakoff. John Chester is played by John Mackay, Ned Chester by Hubert Burton, John Willett by David Schofield, Joe Willett by Matthew Watson, and Hugh by Ashley Kumar. Barnaby Rudge is dramatised by Mike Walker and directed by Jeremy Mortimer.
If you'd like to receive our newsletter with full details of the week's radio dramas, just search for BBC Radio Drama Newsletter.